Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and we're going to ask God to bless our message this morning. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we're asking now that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, A Life of Purpose. A Life of Purpose. I'm here to let you know and to remind you that there is no coincidences with God. Can I get an amen? Whatever you're going through right now, whatever's taking place in your life, whether it's physical, whether it's mentally, whether it's financially, God has purpose. Right now, as we speak, August 5th, 2018, there is purpose on what you are experiencing right now, up to this day. Now, we all know yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not here. God gives us one day at a time. Today is the day. This day, God is going to do something mighty in your spirit. Why? Because he loves you. And he wants to remind you how much he loves you and how good he is to you. And so let's read together verses 1 through 4, and then we can be seated. Let's read. You yourselves know, dear brothers, how worthwhile that visit was. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet God gave us the courage to boldly repeat the same message to you, even though we were surrounded by enemies. Verse 3. So you can see that we were not preaching with any false motives or evil purposes in mind. We were perfectly straightforward and sincere. For we speak as messengers from God, trusted by him to tell the truth. We change his message not one bit to suit the taste of those who hear it. For we serve God alone, who examines our hearts and deepest thoughts. May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and reader of his word. You may be seated. I read to you from the Living Translation. And I want you to look right up here. And what I placed here. It says, God allows us to go through difficult times because he loves us and has great purpose for our lives. How many believe that? How many believe that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for? And no matter what predicament you're in right now, God will see you through it. For some of you, you are coming out of a trial. You're coming out of temptation. You're coming out of situations that seem so extreme. For some of you, you're about to enter into one. And then a lot of us are in the middle of a storm. And we're saying, God, when are you going to calm the seas in my life? When are you going to calm the winds and the rain and the floods? Those things are real that we experience in life. But I'm here to let you know that God has a plan for you. Despite of yourselves, despite of your circumstances. I want you to read this story I found. True story. Let's read this together. Clyde Thompson was the meanest man in Texas until he started preaching, loving, and baptizing others. As a teenager, he was sentenced to death for killing two men. He became the youngest individual to be sentenced to the electric chair. A merciful governor rewrote his sentence to a lifetime behind bars rather than death. So he had a little mercy there. Multiple attempts at escaping prison, He took the lives of his friends and the guards he used as human shields. His goal was to kill every guard in the prison. This man was raging with anger. He hated life. He probably hated himself. When locked down in a literal pit of a cell with no hope of escape, he would spit at the guards through the bars in the window. During that stay in a cell converted from an old morgue, he became one of the living dead, forgotten and alone. He had no running water, no light, and no social connections. One day he asked for a Bible. Using the precious 5 hours of sunlight he was allowed each day, Clyde began reading eagerly. It converted him. He cried out to God for months. Soon he was converting guards. His conversion was as unlikely as that of the Philippian jailer. When released from isolation, Clyde began teaching classes of 80, baptizing many in the tub where death row inmates bathed before execution. After 28 years, Clyde was released and allowed to minister outside the prison. This is a real guy. There he is. This guy is from Texas. There's a book. That's the book called The Meanest Man in Texas. This was during 1928. So obviously it was beyond our time. But this is a true story. This is what God allows sometimes to take place. He was the meanest man. And yet, through that man who rebelled probably all his life, here comes grace and mercy. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And so I don't care what situation you may have fallen into. And sometimes we fall into situations all by ourselves. We like to blame the enemy, the devil. We like to blame others. But sometimes it's our what? Stinking thinking. It's me, myself, and I. And so we find ourselves no differently. And so saying strength, courage, and direction accompany a life of purpose. When difficulties arise, as they will in life, the understanding of one's purpose rises to the occasion to guide us through troubled waters. Purpose is the rock-solid foundation of life, the guiding light in darkness, the resolve to succeed, and the ability, saints, to continue and pursue of excellence in any field of life, but especially in faith toward God. And so, the Christian view of life can be defined in three areas: God-given, defined, and directed. And so for those of you that have notes, write down what God is saying to you right now. Go back and read, man, I remember this day I wrote down these notes, and then when the trial or whatever you're entering in, you can identify it now and say, wow, God, you spoke to me about this. You forewarned me. Did you know that God tells us his secrets before things happen? Because he loves us. He's always watching out for the best of us. Amen? And so let's look at number one. Let's look at life is God-given. All things, saints, including human life, come from God. How many believe that? It all comes from God. Oh, yes. Look at an Acts right here. In the book of Acts 17:24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and the earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Aren't you so blessed? For many of us, growing up, we used to bow down to statues. Oh yeah, we did. Some of them had them on the dash of our car, made out of plastic, thinking that was God. But the God that we serve, hallelujah, he is spirit. And spirit and in truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all breath and all things. Thank you, Lord. He has allowed you to wake up this morning. Hallelujah. And when your eyes open, the breath came from him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Aren't you so blessed to know that you woke up this morning? Did you know there's some people that didn't wake up? Yeah, around the world. Someone didn't wake up this morning. But by the grace of God, we did. Can I get an amen? We woke up. Thank you, God. Saints, God is the giver of life, and he's the one that breathed life into the first man. And what was his name? Adam. Come on, right here. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Praise God. Praise God. You see, the Lord, he defines who we are. He purposely made us glorious in his eyes. Oh, yeah. Some of you look at each other and say, man, he really made you, huh? And then God says, well, you go look in the mirror too. That's right. He made you. I like to say it like this. Man, he has a sense of humor when he made me. Because I laugh at my own self. But you know what? In his eyes, he made me perfect. He made you perfect. Can I get an amen? Hey, there's no mistakes with God. But we serve a mighty God, a loving God. Look at number two here. God defines life. He defines it. God determines the placement, bounds, and the strength of all life. Job, who was going through a serious trial. He had lost his wealth. He had lost his health. He had lost his children. Come on. If you think you're going through something right now, you don't want to go through what Job went through. And then he ended up with boils, canker worms, just boils everywhere with pus coming out. He was hideous to look at. Probably the stench on him was just horrendous. And his wife could only say one thing, curse God and die. Even his own wife, precious wife, had no words of hope. But God allowed him to see beyond his circumstance. And this morning, I'm praying that you would see beyond your circumstance. That when it's all said and done, God is going to make all things beautiful in his time. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. I don't care what you're going through. Allow God to work in your life through your trials and your tribulations. Can I get amen? Because he's able to do the things that you cannot do for yourself. But he's looking for you to surrender to him, to trust him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Can I get amen? Look at this in Job. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So if you think, well, I'm going to live another 30 years, he may say, well, I'm just going to give you 29. He determines our life. He determines the length of our days. It's God who already saw the day that we would close our eyes here on earth and be with him in his presence forevermore. And many of us are looking for that day. I know I am. I'm looking for that day when we will be changed and we will be like him. How many of you can't wait to have that new body? Oh, come on. Unless you want to carry this as you get older for 100 years. I want that new one. I want to appear and then disappear. Amen. I want to eat and not have to go to the bathroom. Come on. That's right. I want to go through a wall, come out one. You know, one of the things that is so, it's been so strange to me as a kid and even as an adult, I always have dreams that I'm flying in the air. You ever had dreams that you're flying in the air? I really believe that's God just showing me you are going to just take off with that new body. Can I get an amen? Man, I would just go, whoop, I'm just flying, I'm soaring. I can't believe, I have those every often. And they look like they're real. And then I wake up and I can't even get off the bed. I roll to get out. Man, I go, I'm going to get back to that dream. But saints, God made everyone in the image and likeness of who he is. Can I get amen? God made us perfect in his sight. Even in this body of flesh, because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter into heaven. That's why we need that new body. Can I get amen? Listen, if flesh and blood were to go in up there, it would take all the sin with it. And there is no sin in his sight. Look at this right up here. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Wherever your demographics are right now, wherever God has placed you, he purposed you to live there. That's right. I grew up in the hood. That's right. But guess what? He went through the hood looking for me. For some of you, maybe you grew up in Rancho Santa Fe. I don't know. Have anybody lived in Rancho Santa Fe? I didn't see one hand go up here. But you know what? There's some wealthy people that love the Lord too. See, there is no obstacles here on earth that can allow God not to work in no one's life. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Can I get an amen? Saints, where, when, and to whom a soul is born, it rests with God. He's in total control. By the grace of God, our Father is 92 years old. And I know his days are short now. But man, God's been good. He's been merciful. He's just been pouring out. And for our sister that's getting baptized today, by the grace of God, 12 years ago, we had the privilege to baptize my dad when he was 80. And you were there. I believe you guys were there. And the Lord came upon him. And man, I know without a shadow of a doubt that even if he start to slip in his mind, what happened that day has been sealed by God. Despite of our condition in life. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. And so let's look at number three. God directs the affairs of human life. I hope you know that. Yes, he does. Because he has a plan, he has purpose, a desired path to happiness in mind for every soul. He wants the did you know that he wants the best for you? Or do you feel like when you go through a trial that he's punishing you? Not so. See, God cannot tempt us. Can I get an amen? We are enticed by our own lust. We're drawn away on our own lust, and we find ourselves in predicaments that sometimes we have allowed ourselves to enter in. Oh, but God, by his grace, will still come and save your bacon. Oh, yes, he will. How many of you can honestly say in life that you grew up rebellious? Okay, I saw one hand in here. Come on, all of us were rebellious, weren't we? We disobeyed our school teachers. We disobeyed our parents. Oh, yeah. Oh, you've always been obedient, huh? Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember it was said that you can tell a six-year-old, I need you to sit down right here and be still for a while. Okay, so that kid, he's sitting down. But in his heart, he's standing up. We're still disobedient. Look at this in Ecclesiastics. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. What you're going through right now, there's purpose. There's a plan. Some of you are going, wow, is this terrible thing that's taking place right now, is it ever going to end? Oh, yes, there's a season for it. It will come to an end. It will run its course. But you got to know that God is with you through it. Hallelujah. Don't think you're alone, because you're not alone. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. And look what the prophet proclaimed thousands of years ago. And you need to make this your own today. Make it your own. Just say, oh God, I receive this. This is my word today. It's right here in Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Amen. Well, Pastor, yeah, that sounds good. But you don't know my situation. No, I may not know it totally. But God knows it. He created you. He knows everything about your situation at hand. But you know what he's looking for? He's looking for you to trust him. To give it to him. To lay it at his feet. Many of you need to deliver things to the altar and lay them there. But you know what we do? We go, oh God. Sometimes we come with just, yeah, Lord. It's just so, okay, Lord, here. I'm gonna lay it right here, God. And then next week, taking it back. You know why we take it back? Because we think we don't see God working. And so, he lets us go round and round like the mulberry bush. Huh? We just go around and around. And we don't wait for the outcome. We want to be the outcome. Saints, it is his desire that peace and pleasantness should prevail and that none should perish. Can I get an amen? But let me just say this. Can you honestly say that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think you would be here if you didn't believe in the Lord. Can I get an amen? I think there would be better things to do, like watching preseason NFL games. Probably one of the most boring things. Watching players that will never play in the season. But some, for some, I can't wait to see him 2 years from now. We'll keep on waiting. But look, saints, suffering often comes to those who preach the gospel. I'm going to show some photos. I got them the other day. Sister Tammy and Sister Gina went down to Tijuana. They minister to these little churches. Hallelujah. And let me just say this. There may not be 50, 60, 100, 200 people there, but for the little handful that was there, God received all the glory and honor and praise because he's just looking for just one soul to be touched by the word of God. Can I get amen? But listen, if you're going to live for Christ, you're going to live for God, expect persecution. Expect the enemy to be mad. Expect people that come out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, they're there to entice you. They're trying to tip you off course. But I'm telling you, God is a great God. He's a mighty God. Can I get an amen? While great joy came to those who received the gospel, suffering came to those who preached it. Peter and the other apostles suffered much at the hands of the Jewish leaders. They were brought before the council, threatened, beaten, and cast into prison. It's right up here in the Word. Look at this in Acts 5:40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles, and look, they gave them a picnic lunch. Is that what it says? Yeah, no. They, what? Beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in that name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of his, for the sake of his name. Can we honestly say that when people mock you, persecute you? Listen, we haven't seen not even a scratch on the surface of the persecution that's coming to our country. If you see all these rallies and all these things that what we see, that it's only going to get worse. There's people that hate our guts because we love the Lord. Oh, yeah. Look what it says in verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. God is saying, whatever you're going through right now, don't be silent. Give them praise, glory, and honor. Know that God is able, hallelujah, to see you through. God is able to equip you. God is able to strengthen you. God is able to anoint you, appoint you, and approve you to do the will of God. You're not alone. I hope Don't think you're alone in this. For those who are barely coming to the saving knowledge, let me just say this. God has a mighty plan for you. One of the things about baby Christians is they are filled with zeal. Zeal. Some of us old timers, man, we go, yeah, I remember when God used me. No, he still wants to use you, no differently. Can I get amen? You just got to shake off that dust. Because a lot of us are battle tested. Do you know that we're battle tested? And so you got to remember, before Paul the Apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus. And what did he do? He was ruthless. Oh, but God had a plan for him. Huh? How many of you cursed God before you got saved? Oh my God. Every other mouth, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ would come out. How many of us could go back to that day? And for some of you, you ought to cut off those actors that you watch, that bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus, you know what, I don't want to listen to you no more. You disgrace my God. Look at this in Acts 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. Whose death? Stephen's death. At the time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. You know who was holding his coat? Saul was. He sent men to destroy him. Why? Because he was preaching the name of Jesus. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Listen, those days are about to come soon. Look how it's progressing in our nation. Listen, when God has been removed out of the public arena, the schools, and the number one sin in our nation is 60 million babies aborted. Did you know that the blood, every ounce that can fill one of the big lakes, is crying out from the ground? It's crying out like Cain's, like the blood of Abel and Cain. Remember that hideous murder early in Genesis? The Bible says that the blood is crying out from the ground. Well, what about 60 million aborted? This is why we need men like Juan Hidalgo to try to make things right. We need to make things right. Look what's going on right now as we speak. There are over 17 cities on fire in California. There are over 20 cities that are almost underwater in the east. There are tornadoes whipping through the Midwest, destroying towns. What's going on? Well, God is saying, listen, if you don't turn back to me, I'm going to vomit you out of the land. And that's what's taking place. No, these are just natural occurrences. No, this is God shaking us to say, turn back to me before I literally destroy you. Wow, don't miss next week's message. God's given me a prophetic message. Hallelujah. Next week, it's going to be like a doctor examining a person and trying to find the root cause of the disease. Don't miss next week. Hallelujah. We need to see the condition of this nation. Can I get amen? Because we all know that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to many people. I pray that you would bring out more. We shouldn't have any empty seats in here next week. Come on, bring them all out. They need to hear truth of what's taking place and not be lied to. Can I get amen? Well, everything's going to be all right. No, the whole state of California is burning up. Lord have mercy. No one wants to talk about, well, we got firefighters out there. Those people are dropping like flies. And so though deliverance in some cases was miraculous, suffering continued to be part of preaching the gospel. When the Lord spoke to Ananias concerning Saul of Tarsus, he said he would show Saul great things he was to suffer for the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's right. That's right. Yeah, Saul of Tarsus. To me, he was the greatest drive-by varmint in that city. Oh, yeah, he would just, man, drive by. Yeah, that's right. And do house invasions and pull the Christians out and throw them to the lions. Just imagine getting thrown into an arena and they, here comes the trap doors and here comes a lion that they starved for about a week. And you're gobbled up in moments. That must be horrific, huh? Well, that's what he did. You see, saints, in the day that we live in the day that we live in now, not just then, but now, unbelievers will oppose the gospel. Did you know that? Did you know that you're not friends with the world? Unless you camouflage your faith. I just want to get along, man. I'm not going to say anything about Jesus. I just want to get along with you. No. That attitude is, you don't care if they go to hell or not. Heaven's a real place, and so is hell. Our brother Jerry testified last Sunday. If you missed last Sunday, man, he was in a motorcycle accident, left there on the street unconscious, and then he was removed from his body, and he saw his body laying there on the pavement, and then, bam, he went into heaven. And God spoke to him, and he saw the most beautiful thing that his eyes ever beholded. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's really a young believer. You know what? God, hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that God has no favorites? We're all equal at the cross, and he will show each and every one of us great and mighty things. And he sent them back to tell us that heaven is real. How many of you believe that heaven is real and it's beautiful and our eyes are going to behold the glory of God? And how many of you believe that hell is a place of torment? Oh, no one wants to talk about hell no more. Oh, that's just a figment of someone's imagination. Oh, that's just, you know, they'll use allegorical or, you know, and that's just symbolic. You know, no, that's a place where there's a 24/7 barbecue going on. And he'll give you an asbestos body so that you're not consumed, so that you will feel the torment 24/7. That's right. It's a real place. Oh, don't talk about that in here. Well, you may not hear it nowhere else. I don't know. Saints, in his list of sufferings, Paul, who was Saul, this man was beaten, persecuted, robbed. Man, I'm telling you ever seen one of those rebarbs that they put in a driveway? There's a whole bunch of bars before they pour the concrete or a footing to a home. They took those kind of bars and they almost beat him to death for the cause of Christ. Look at this. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Well, they're still rods. Once I was stoned. And he wasn't smoking a hookah when he said that. He wasn't getting high. He was actually stoned with boulders. That was a real rock party there. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. That's the worst place to be. Is someone going, psst, 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 psst. Did you know about, psst, psst, psst. And that's not even true. Sowing lies and sowing discord. That's the work of the devil. You be careful how you talk about people. Can I get amen? Amen. And if someone's starting to talk about someone, put them in their tracks. Say, you know what? I don't want to talk about it. Let's pray for them. Let's lift them up in prayer. If you feel that way, but let's lift them up that God will help. And God can change and bless. Can I get an amen? Oh, no, but we're like, oh, I want more mud. Let me hear more mud and dirt. You know why we want to hear it? Because we want to elevate ourselves above that. Well, I don't do those things. I'm better than that. We're just as rotten as they are. Can I get an amen? Some were religious, some were heathen, and some were from the land where he was born, and finally some were intermingled with the believers in the churches. The most difficult of the four to deal with is the false brethren. False brethren within are far more dangerous than the heathen without. The heathens, that's their MO. They'll tell you stuff you don't want to hear. They'll just blaspheme God. But it's the ones that say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psst, 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 psst. I like what John Hagee said. I shared it 1 week. You know, there's some religious organizations, they want them sisters to wear dresses past the ankle, and they'll come and measure it. And then he said, some of their tongues are longer than their dresses. Oh, yeah. We can be really religious and have no understanding of the grace of God and the mercy of God and what God has done for us and how we are supposed to be merciful and kind to one another and lift up one another. Many of us are going through and we need each other to help us during the midst of conflict. Many of you right now are saying, God, when is this going to end for me? And God knows the time frame. God is saying, trust me. I'll see you through. Oh, yes. But saints, we seek to please God and not people. Can I get an amen? How many of you rather believe to seek and please God? Well, we're going to read this story real quick before we close out. The book of Acts has so many wonderful stories and testimonies on how God worked mightily for those that love him. And I'm here to let you know, continue to love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. He will see you through. He knows how to fix you. Can I get amen? We think we can fix ourselves. No, he's the better healer. He's the better doctor. He's the better psychiatrist. Can I get amen? He's the wonderful counselor, a mighty God. He's from everlasting. I want to trust him. Let's look at this story here. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord at Solomon's porch. We were just there in April. Solomon's porch, right there on the Temple Mount area. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So that they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on their beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Man, that is great faith. You know, when you have an opportunity to go like these sisters, to go down to Tijuana and pray for them, they don't have HMO and PPO. They don't have debit and credit cards like you and I have. They get to their meetings barefooted, hoping that someone will bring them a pair of shoes. We have all the amenities of life here. And a lot of times, instead of waiting on God to heal us, we just say, man, how many of these medicines do I need to take? We have everything here in our disbursement. Look at this. Verse 16. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Why? Because they came in faith. Can I get an amen? Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were all filled with indignation. How does that work? All these people are getting healed. Their hospitals are emptied out. And yet these people that were tormented, that needed a touch from God, they were all being healed. And the religious leaders, what? They were upset. They were mad. Is there people in your life that are mad because you're walking with Christ? Huh? Are they despising you because you are now a goody-good-two-shoe? Look at this. And they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. What? To bless the people? I believe God is asking us to step out of our comfort zone and to do no different but bless those that need a touch from God. Only through our mouths will they know the love of God. Yeah, we can live the life before them. But good moral people do that too. But we have the truth. Can I get amen? We have the anointing of God. We need to speak out these things in their life. Sometimes they could be living in deep, deep, deep sin. And we just walk right by it. We got to let them know that the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Look at this in Acts 5:19. My goodness. Acts 5:19. Look at this. An angel of the Lord delivered them from prison. Listen, if you're living for Christ, I don't care what predicament you're in. God will come and rescue you. I shared last week how God delivered me from being shanked to death. I could have died right there. I could have been another statistic. But God was with me. Can I get amen? How many believe that God is with you? Look at this. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors. Remember, they were apprehended for healing, for touching, for ministering, to preaching. And here comes God. He comes in, man. Man, that's why he should be your champion. Can I get amen? I don't care if your team never gets to the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. The one I want to praise and worship is the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's my champion. He's my hero. He ought to be the one you're saying, oh, God, I thank you that I don't have to remain in my sinfulness no more. That I have a heaven to obtain and a hell to shun now by the grace of God. If there's anything that you could say, God, thank you, is that he has put a roadblock to that place of torment for you. And he will keep you by his grace. He will keep you by his mercy. Even when you don't want to keep yourself, he will keep you. Can I get amen? Look at this. He said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life. Because they said, we would rather obey God than to obey man. What? Amen. That's right. How many would rather obey God than continue to be bold for Christ? Be bold on the job. Be bold in school. Be bold in your family. Listen, many of us have family members that are not walking with Christ. And every now and then we'll have a little gathering, someone's birthday, someone's anniversary, whatever the case may be. Are we telling them about Jesus or reminding them that God has a better plan? God has a better way of life? That you don't have to remain in your sin? God's going to hold us accountable for every idle word. Every idle word. Look at this. We must choose to worship even when things do not go our way. Worship is what brings us into the presence of God. It is the act of giving glory and honor and praise unto the Lord. It is love expressed, of thoughts compressed. It sets things in order between the creature and the creator. It is a timeless principle of faith, deliberate act of devotion, undeterred by circumstances or pressures of life. We choose to worship when all is well and also when things don't go our way. And the key guys are these guys right here, Paul and Silas. I believe there's many Paul and Silases in this room right now. Can I get an amen? There are many Paul and Silas's. Why? Because they were on their way to the river to pray when they ended up in prison. Listen, they were walking in faith. They were prompted by the Holy Spirit. But they didn't know the outcome of their journey. But God had to show himself to them over and over and over that my grace is sufficient. Some of you are going through some horrendous trials right now, but you need to understand that God's grace is sufficient. And he won't leave you there alone. He's with you in the boat. He's with you on the ship. He's with you through this life that sometimes brings us down. And we lose hope. But I'm here to let you know there is hope in God. Can I get amen? There's hope in God. There's hope in God. Because in this story, it says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us there, who brought her masters much profit by fortune teller. I know some people that still go and get their cards read. Oh, I wonder what my daily horoscope is today. You know, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Did you know in the book of Revelation, it says all sorcerers will be in the lake and fire. You better watch out. Calling so-and-so hotline. Man, I need to know what's going to happen today. You want to know what's going to happen today? Read your word. That God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. But look at this story. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, proclaimed to us the way of salvation. Man, she was just really mocking them. Because she was in her witchcraft. She was in her sin. Trying, oh yeah, these are the guys. Look at that. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of that very, that demon came out that very hour. Wow. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Oh man, our money now is going to get cut off. It's going to get cut off now. Why? Because they were deceiving the people. That's why the doctrine right now that's going across our land and churches, the doctrine of prosperity. Oh, man. Seven keys to prosperity. Let me shake you upside down three times before you leave. And some of them are riding in Bentleys. This one guy I saw, I'm not going to speak his name, but he asked the congregation, I need $50 million so I can get my own jet. Lord have mercy. Look at this. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach us customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans to receive or observe. Man, they were just bringing up all kinds of false accusations. That's what the enemy wants to do in your life. He wants to remind you, oh, I remember you. I remember what you used to do. Yeah, I did. But now, hallelujah, by the grace of God, he has saved me. He has delivered me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm heaven bound now, washed in the blood. And that's what you need to do is preach to them and tell them that I am not my own no more. I've been bought with the price. Hallelujah. God owns me now. I've been grafted in by faith. I have the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have now, hallelujah, and joint heir with Christ. Everything that God has, he has given to me. And now I can walk with confidence. I can walk with authority, knowing that God is with me wherever I go. You got to believe that for yourself. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Then the multitude rose up together against him. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Just for laying hands on the sick. Watching them recover. Delivering them from the devices of the enemy. Devils coming out. And they were in prison for that. Wow. This is why the progressive left today wants to silence us. They don't want you to preach truth. They're no different than these folks. Nothing's changed underneath the sun. Can I get an amen? Everything stays the same, Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new. It repeats itself in cycles. Look at this. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. What? Look at that. In prison, saints, where they were, there was no rippling river waters, no cool breeze, no sweet sound of either believers calling on the name of the Lord, no smell of stew cooking at Lydia's house, no warm greeting of hospitality with a comfortable place of rest after prayer. They left all that to preach the gospel and found themselves in a place of torment. But let me just say this. Look at this. Difficult times can make a way for great miracles. Come, can I get amen? Huh? What are you in right now? What's your predicament? Because God's about ready to do a miracle. Hallelujah. You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for you to trust him and hold on. I'm not going to move. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be steadfast in the word. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. Hallelujah. The gates of hell looks like they're crashing in. Man, but God is going to lift you up. God is going to cause you, hallelujah, to be delivered, hallelujah, from the hands of your enemy. There's people in your life right now who don't know God. They had a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They have a name tag that says, I'm brother so-and-so. But when they leave the four walls, they still act like the devil. But I'm here to let you know that even those are going to get saved. Can I get an amen? God will bring them to a place of repentance. And you know how that's going to happen? By your fasting and praying and telling them the truth. My goodness. Difficult times make a way for great miracles. And some of you are about to, hallelujah, have that miracle. Some of you are going to have that breakthrough. Some of you are going to say, oh God, hallelujah. Man, I've been in this battle for a long time, but now I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Hallelujah. And I'm walking toward the light. Can I get an amen? Brother Jerry saw the light. He kept walking toward the light. And then, boom, he was there. And God showed him wonderful things. Marvelous. Marvelous things. Marvelous things. Thank you, God. You know why? Because in the midst of their suffering, God delivered them. God delivered them. And he's going to deliver you. Hallelujah. Or is this just for other people? Well, he don't care about me. You're wrong. He knows all about you. Look at this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Listen, they were chained. They were chained up. It was rat infested. There were no running water. There were no big screen TVs. They didn't have the amenities of Donovan's prison. It was filled with stench, with urine and feces all over the place. They didn't have running toilets. And yet, they were praising God, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You never know who's listening to you when you're worshiping God at home, on your job, hallelujah, driving around, hallelujah. You need to give God the praise, glory, and honor despite of your circumstance. You got to walk with him, hallelujah, and you got to let people know that God's able, hallelujah, to deliver me from the fowls of death. He's able to take you further with him. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains was loose. Did you know, just by your testimony, others will have their chains loose. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. They're going to say, man, what kind of God do you serve? Hallelujah. The one I'm serving is not working. He's deaf. I think he's on vacation. I think he's using the toilet. No, but the God that's real, who loves you, won't allow you to stay in that muck and mire. All the chains were loose. Everyone in there. Look at that. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword and was about ready to kill him. Why was he going to kill himself? Because he thought that all the prisoners fled and he would have been responsible. And they would have chopped off his head. So he was about ready to do himself in. Oh my gosh, I failed. I failed Caesar. But look at this. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, do not yourself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And when he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Listen, this is where God's going to get the glory. In the midst of your turmoil. Hallelujah. You know why? Because you have to learn to die to self. It can't be woe is me. It's got to be greater that's he that is in me than he that's in the world. And that's the perspective that they had. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. What? These were the prison guards. My, my, my. How many want to walk with that kind of anointing? Then take the duct tape off your lips. Some of you have been muzzled too long. You need to walk like this in faith. You need to walk with anointing. You got to tell people there's a better way. There's a real life to live. And that life is in Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. God don't want to leave you in your predicament. He wants to get the glory out of it. Hallelujah. And so we close. There's more. Then look, and then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And he took what? Them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Wow. This is the prison guard. Man, let me bathe you up, man. Wow. And immediately he and his whole family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with his whole household. This is the guy that was about ready to just do himself in. How would you like to have that great favor with God? I know I do. If you win one, you'll win many. Because that one will go tell others. That's right. So, in closing, God does have a great purpose for us. Can I get an amen? He does. He does. Paul and Silas found their purpose in the preaching of the gospel. Their place as missionaries was to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentile kings and the children of Israel. Within that general purpose came a specific purpose. So, it comes down to this, saints. Whatever you're going through right now, there's a specific purpose. It's not a general purpose. God's going to show you a greater meaning to your trial. He's going to show you exactly what it is. He's going to tell you and show you what you must do. And watch him deliver you. But the last thing we want to do is find ourselves murmuring and complaining. You know why? Because now we're walking in unbelief, not believing what he's about to do. None of us want to wait for the outcome. We want to be the outcome. We want to do it on our own. but I'd rather have God do it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, that's right. I shared with you countless times. I was put away for my wrong way of life, and I deserved to be put away by my first wife. And you know what people do? Right away, as soon as they lose someone, they go looking for someone else, that rebound lover. To find yourself, you came from the frying pan right into the fire. You find out that that person still needs the brush too. Yeah, we do that. We run. But you know what? When you wait on the Lord, when you wait on God, amen, He will send you His best.
Yes, He will.
That's right. Friday, we celebrated 22 years together. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I remember 22 years ago, this is wrong. She's not for you. Listen, I waited 10 years, patient before God, didn't kiss another woman on her lips, wasn't seeking for a relationship, but what I did was steadfast that I continue to preach the gospel and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He saw that now I learned to love Him, He wanted a relationship with me. So that then in return, He can entrust me with one of His flowers from His garden. He didn't allow me to go back to Egypt and to find an uncircumcised Philistine. Oh, there's many out there that'll take you in. Oh yeah, come on, let's go shake our groove thing tonight. I have nothing in common other than but a night of lust. That'll send a good man off the track, a good woman off the track. I'm here to let you know, hold on. Hold on! God has the best for last. Can I get amen? Amen. You just got to trust Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So that was the overall picture. We're going to go help. And then God showed them their real reason is to praise Him through their persecution. What's your real purpose of your trial? What is it? Their purpose was further defined with the prison experience in Philippi, which filtered down to the salvation of a man and his family. That was the purpose. To find this family that needed Jesus. And He used the circumstances, even though it didn't feel good, that God used them mightily and saved that whole entire family. And they are recorded in the Word of God forever in heaven now. Because of their obedience, that family got saved. How many families still need to be saved by your testimony? How many? The work of the gospel is most often that of a one-on-one encounter with God. Every event we experience should be viewed as a guiding of God's purpose in our lives and to furthermore of the kingdom of God. How many of you can honestly say that God has used you? That God is using you. He's used you, He's using you, and He wants to further use you. How many believe that you have entered into that place with Him like that? For our young sister that's going to be baptized, this is a new beginning for her. Trials will come, but God is going to build up your faith. God's going to bless you. He's going to put a hedge of protection around you. I see that right now. God's going to encamp His angels around you. God has a mighty plan for you, Sister Alexis. And nothing's going to be able to penetrate the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God over your life. Because your beautiful parents have been praying for their children to come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are witnessing right now God at work in the lives of their children. And you are demonstrating your faith that God's able to keep me even in, as a young person in the midst of darkness. Hallelujah. Saints, next week, please bring out many folks. We're going to have the councilman here sharing his testimony. He's really good friends with my uncle, Eddie Cervantes. My uncle was on that little clip. My brother, who's investigated for the DA's office, he went to school with Juan Hidalgo. He's bringing his family, he promised. Bring them all. I want to hear this man who's walking in the light share how God saved him and why we need to vote for him. Can I get an amen? I don't want to just vote to vote. I want to know, what do you stand for? What is your platform? Before I mark my pen on the ballot, I need to know, can I get an amen? Amen? That you're for the righteousness of Christ. And so let us pray right now. And then let's rejoice and get behind Alexis, because she's going to take her step of faith in the waters of baptism. She understands that this is a commandment from God to obey. And that baptism doesn't save you. But it's your obedience unto Christ that brings him glory and honor. And your life demonstrates your faith by walking in faith and not by sight. And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for the goodness and grace that you have shown us. Lord, I'm praying, God, for those that are listening to this message right now. And maybe you're here, I don't know. Maybe you've never surrendered. Maybe you've never given fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know that God has the best plan for your life. You are not a coincidence, but there's purpose in your life. We saw the story of Paul and Silas. There was purpose for them to go through all the persecution and all the dark trials in their life. But that was to bring glory, honor, and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never given your heart to God, God wants to do something radical right now. And those of you that are going through a trial in your life and you think that there's not an end, I'm here to let you know you're coming close to that trial. That trial's ending. And God is going to get the glory. He's waiting on the other side for you to worship and praise him. Some of you right now, your children are running amok. For some of you, your spouse is wayward. For some of you, your finances are dwindling away. For some of you, you're looking for employment. And God, will you ever bless me with another job? For some of you right now are saying, God, I haven't felt your presence in a while. I'm in a dry place. I'm in a desert place. All these things that we go through as believers, God knows. He understands. And he wants to bless your life continually, even when it's not about feelings. Because our feelings can fool us. It's walking in faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one to deliver us from all unrighteousness. If that's you right now and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray right now that you would turn. Turn right now. Turn from your ways right now. Ask God to help you. Ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to say, oh God, here I am. I'm surrendering right now. I want to do it your way. I don't want a Burger King life having it my way. I want to turn to you. That I want to do your way. I want to emulate you. I want to copy you, God. Because I won't fall into errors by trusting in you. So if that's you, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him right now with a heart of repentance that you would cry out. Ask God to save you right now. Say this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come in to my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And for those right now that are going through, let me pray this. Lord Jesus, I pray for those that are going through right now that nothing will ever separate them from the love of God. Neither peril, trial, tribulation, even death. Nothing shall ever separate them from the love of God. Lord, watch over them. See them through, O God. Comfort them in the night. Bless them in the walk in the day. Bless their coming and their going. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would not look at their circumstance, but they would look at the cross, knowing, God, that it is finished. And you have done the miraculous in our lives as far as saving us. And I pray, Lord, for every trial, every situation right now, Lord, that your hand of mercy and grace and that the glory of God would shine through them and that they would give you praise, glory, and honor for their lives and to thank you like these men. They praised you in the midst of their turmoil. Give them a heart of praise and give them a heart to cry out to you as they go through their trials, God. For that trial will end soon. And you will get all the glory and honor. So Lord, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. We ask all these blessings in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give him a shout of praise and glory in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.